Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Turn to someone and say your decisions count for everything, and then you can take your seats in the back and take their seats as well. Yes. Oh, I'm exhausted now. Oh, gosh. You know, it's a series we're going to be doing this week, and tonight we'll be praying for laying hands on every person that comes tonight and anointing with oil. Our dreams, our purposes, our desires for 2020. And then next week, Ryan's going to be doing extended worship in the morning, concert at nighttime. And then the week after that, which is the end of our fasting, we're going to come back into talking about destiny-defining decisions. And then the last Sunday of the month, we're going to do it. And we're just going to explode. This place is going to explode. You're going to explode. You're not going to know what's hit you. Because too many of us have fallen into the trap of victimhood. And it hasn't served any of us very well. You know, and it's the purpose of our government is to make us feel like we're victims of a cruel system. And all we can do is complain about it. But when it comes to doing something about it, nobody gives us the right information of what to do about our circumstances, but only to complain about our circumstances. And my desire in pastoring you is that you'd complain less and do more. That you take a hold of your God-given responsibility and you would up your power of your ability, your power to make godly decisions, because your future is based on your decisions according to your faith. And faith is a decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read a bit because I am tired. Your decisions have the power to define and shape your future. They're the most powerful things in the room right now. They can break habits, take you out of poverty, access the power of God, take back what the devil stole in 2019, fulfill dreams and activate miracles. Your emotions can't do it. Your friends can't do it. I can't do it. Only you can do it. I'm sorry about this. Not sorry. Only you can do it. Draw a circle around yourself. Then claim that the power of your future rests in the decisions you make within the circle. And for you to stop blaming every circumstance, every person, every season outside the circle. And stop blaming fate. Stop saying, well, there must be a reason for the season. That is secularism outside of all things work together for good. But there is a secularist mantra out there that when bad things happen, it must be fate. Because nobody wants to track it back to the power of their decisions. But if we can track it back to the power of our decisions, what a difference we're going to make to the next 12 months of our lives. I want us to move from being true to how you feel to being truer to what you believe. To do that, I'm going to have to strengthen your will. You have to realize indecision is actually a decision. It's a crap one. But it is actually a decision. That's how far you're going to have to take this. That from now on, everything comes back to the power of your decision, the choices that you make. We need to strengthen the weakened muscles, the weakened sinews of your choices, and can't bring you back to the power of choice. I want your catchphrase to be, I have decided. Not I feel or I won't, or I feel or I want or I can't. And to take those expressions out, and bring in the expression, I've decided. Number one, I've decided to never again play the victim. Number two, I've decided not to be defined by the words of others, only the words of Christ. Shake, shake, shake it off. Number three, I've decided to release people of all of my demands. Give them the benefit of the doubt.
They're not as evil or dastardly as you think they are. They're just as human as you are. So stop creating a case against them and let your bitterness just be placed in the bonfire of faith. Number four, I've decided to build the kingdom over simply watching it being built. Ta-da. Number five, I've decided to take full responsibility over my decisions and believe that from now on, indecision is actually a decision. One of my life verses and my whole mind map series that's available just in the foyer, I'm going to dip in and out of it this month. But it's all based upon the scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. And it says this, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world or to the pattern of the world's thinking, but be transformed. Be changed, indelibly changed, irreversibly changed, like a caterpillar into a butterfly. Be transformed. That's your birthright, is to be changed. Nobody should say, this is who I am, because you're becoming all of the time. You're becoming the next you, the future you, all of the time you're becoming. Stop defining yourself by how you've been in the past. Don't allow other people to define the old you when the new you is emerging. But how does it happen? How do you be transformed? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, perfect, and pleasing will. You'll be able to test drive the Maserati of God's will. If you're transformed. But how do you get transformed? By renewing of the thinking process. By a change in the way you think, by exercising your destiny-defining decisions. Yeah. That's how you experience the Rolls-Royce of God's good, perfect, and pleasing will for your life. It won't just happen. You know, we just need to move back a little bit from, well, I just believe, because just believing isn't good enough for this scripture. This scripture doesn't say according to your faith, but all of the Romans talks about according to your faith. But this scripture says it's not according to your faith, it's according to what you think about what you believe, not just what you believe. Because we spend half of our time confessing stuff that we do not believe. And then reverses the transformation process. It's one foot forwards, one foot backwards by us declaring things and doing things that we do not believe in. We're going to have to bring our minds into this and change the way we think and activate the thinking process. Here's what happens when faith enters into us. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing from Christ. When we hear from Christ, two things happen. Number one, a deposit of gold is placed into our spirit, into our soul. It's an inner confidence that God will do what he said he'd do. But how do you know you've heard from God? How do you know that you've received faith from God? Because it doesn't just enter into your spirit. It enters into your mind and creates a pathway between two places that previously had never been connected with before. And what God wants with that pathway is he wants us to walk that pathway, to widen that pathway, to exercise upon that pathway until it becomes one of the most powerful things operating in you right now. It's called a train of thought. You need to widen the pathway until you can put a train line down so that you can start to launch trains of thought that bring building material into the new part of your mind. And when you activate both an inner belief, an inner confidence that God will do what he says he'd do, plus a full persuasion that I believe, that I've decided to line everything up with what I actually believe, then we've got transformation, then we've got mind renewal, then we've got an experiencing of God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for 2020. Let me say hello to everybody online. We forget about you from time to time, but you're on our hearts. And wherever you are, from Ireland to Poland, we give you a special welcome here at Hope City Sheffield, don't we? Come on. I just love what it says in Romans chapter 4 about Abraham in verse number 18. It says, this is what he did. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. It's a famous scripture. And so he became the father of many nations. So it says that against all hope, he believed. It was this kind of belief. It was an inner confidence that God will do what he said he'd do. But then we just read on a couple of verses. I don't think it'll come up. In Romans 4, verse 20 and 21, it says, yet he did not waver in unbelief. Wavering is what happens. It's a mental condition. He didn't waver in unbelief regarding the promises, but was strengthened in his faith. So he added to his faith something of full persuasion, because the next verse says, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. Three peas in a pod to power and victory. So he didn't just believe within his heart. He also was fully persuaded within his mind. And when you take heart and mind together, we have ourselves lift off. Because I want to experience every drop of the will of God for 2020. Can you say amen? It all starts with destiny-defining decisions. Every thought that you get enters into the grand central station of your will. And every thought boards a train. Every perception, every innuendo, every conclusion boards a train. On the eastern platform is Satan. He's the platform master, and he's there to tempt you to board trains that head to the fallen mind. On the western platform is the Holy Spirit, and he's drawing you to board trains that lead to the new mind. And every train brings energy and building material to either the old mind or the new mind. And in every person's mind are skyscrapers, metropolises, and cities. And each city represents a habit. And God knows that the skyline of your mind, the silhouette of your mind, will become the skyline of your future. That what are the dominant habits will shadow your future. And unless we can change the dominant habits, we'll have 2019 all over again. But to break the cycle, we need to pull down the skyscrapers and erect brand new skyscrapers in the new part of your mind. We need the skyscraper of self-justification to start to crumble and the skyscraper of goodness start to be built. But it doesn't just happen. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take destiny-defining decisions to stop the trains heading this way and to allow the trains to head this way. Here's my solitary example this morning, that you weren't invited to a wedding. It's just a thought. And there's a possible perception there that maybe your friendship basis is changing a little. These two thoughts, one is fact, one's perception, enter into the grand central station of the will. Satan says, it's because nobody loves you anymore. You are on the shelf. You're not valued. You're not cared about. No one's interested in you. And it's your decision whether to believe that or not. Because there's a train at your platform. It's about to lead to self-pityville. It screams at you because every day innuendo enters into grand central station of the will. The problem with self-pityville is that there's a light rail that leads to greed town. There's there's a huge highway that leads to Lustville. That self-pityville would have to be one of the most evil cities within the fallen part of your mind. But you know, exactly the same as temptation, the Bible says that God gives you a way out of every temptation. There's always another train about to arrive on the Western platform. And against this, I would say it's the Jeremiah 29:11 train that says, "For my plans for you are for good and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." And that train arrives at exactly the same time. And it's your decision to listen to the wooing of the Holy Spirit and to walk down the staircase onto the platform of the Western mind and to board the Jeremiah 29:11 train, or board the Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 that says that God began a good work within you. He's going to finish the good work in you. Stop being alarmed by a lack of invitation or a lack of Christmas cards. Stop it. But you know, because your will's been weakened and because self-pity has become the outfit of the 20th century, so many of us just slide through indecision that becomes a decision. And we board the train of nobody loves me. We end up building the city of lust, building the city of greed, building the city of self-pity, because every train builds and it brings energy and building material to that part of the mind. Can you see everything starts from the grand central station of your will? It's of your will. And if we could strengthen your will, if you could exercise your will, if you could stop your indecision, and if you could decide to listen to the Holy Spirit and make a decision to follow and to board every train that comes from the Word of God, then we could build some incredible skyscrapers in the region of the new mind. The skyscraper of God's faithfulness, of God's goodness, the metropolis of peace, the metropolis of love, the city of kindness, the city of self-control. We could build an entire community where the buildings get higher and higher and higher and higher. And it needs to happen because the skyline of your mind will become the skyline of your future. And you might say, well, the most powerful thing then, Dave, is the bias within my mind. The highest skyscraper is the one that overshadows the future. It's the skyscrapers, the cities that are the most dominant force within my mind. Yeah, that's true at the moment, but it's going to change. Because it'll change by every destiny-defining decision you make will start to change the skyline of your mind. It's going to take some time. Have you got some time? We've all got some time. Because this is so that you can experience God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for your lives. This is worth it. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take obedience to the Holy Spirit. It's going to take a new form of living. It's going to take eradicating victimization. It's going to take the eradication of the blame game. But if we could do it, if we could start to change the skyline by every decision we make at the grand central station of the well, we're going to see amazing things happen. I've got 5 points that I'll run through fairly quickly, but I've been reading Zechariah. And Zechariah is interesting because it's about the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. They'd been in exile for 70 years or so. The whole place was crushed. And Zechariah, the prophet, came along and he spoke to two people. He spoke to the high priest Joshua and he spoke to the governor called Zerubbabel. And it's quite weird that I'll be reading some weird scripture, but it's quite interesting because sometimes we think, yeah, it's just the priestly nature within us that will do it. And we forget about the governance within the mind. And God speaks to both Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the governor. And through him speaking to them, the temple got rebuilt. There was great celebration. And it's the same within each one of you. I'm speaking through my spirit to Joshua, the high priest inside each one of you. But I'm also speaking to Zerubbabel. You've got to place Zerubbabel in the right place in order to see the incredible outcomes that God has for your life. The five decisions, number one, is decide to be good at decision-making. The more you practice, the stronger you become. Here's an abstract scripture from you, as half the Bible is fairly abstract. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18 to 21 says, "Then I looked up, and there before me were four horns. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, 'What are these?' He answered me, 'These are the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem.' Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. And I said, 'What are these coming to do?' He said, 'These are the horns that God has scattered Judah so that no one could raise his head. But the craftsmen have come to terrify them and throw them down and throw down these horns of the nations who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter its people.'" It's four horns, 2019. Four craftsmen, 2020. The four horns were crushed by the four craftsmen, not the four amateurs, not the four beginners, but the four craftsmen, not the four novices, but those that were trained in their craft. I often say the difference between a hobbyist and a craftsman is a hobbyist on a Saturday morning will gather all the bits and pieces together and say, "I'll see what I can make." But a craftsman never does that. A craftsman never starts with gathering the bits and pieces together. A craftsman never starts with, "I'll see what I can make, but I'll make what I can see." And that changes everything. And you need to stop looking at what you've got, because you'll find you haven't got much. And stop trying to see what you can make with the life that you've been given. And change it around and become a craftsman. And make what you can see. Let the eyes of faith be opened. Let your inner eyes be opened so that you can decide to follow what you see in the spirit instead of just see what I can make. It's going to take a little bit of exercise, but it's going to take the spirit of a craftsman. It's going to take a blueprint. It's going to take excellence. It's going to take a work ethic. There's four essential ingredients. Number one, the power of repentance. That's an exercise. You want to drop your antagonism against certain people. It'll eat you up. You want to forgive people. Give them slack. You want to stop building a case against people. Stop dragging relationships that may have gone moldy in 2019 into your 2020. Stop waiting for justice. Justice will eat you up. Forgiveness is higher than justice. Forgiveness is what Christ did for you. It's of a higher realm than justice. All the world can do is, "I want to get justice." But Christians can get forgiveness. It's higher, it's stronger, it's bigger, it's closer to the heart of love than justice is. And we need to become champions at it. You need to practice the ability to forgive, practice the power of repentance, the ability to say I'm wrong, the ability to start again, the ability to back down. And to practice it. You practice dropping it. Practice stopping so bitter. Zip it. Practice not speaking anymore. Low thoughts, vindictive thoughts about certain people that crippled you last year. Stop it. Practice. Become a craftsman. It's going to take practice, but you can do it. Number two, it's the control. The exercise is the control of your environment. The control of your environment. A man saw a psychologist, he said, and the psychologist said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I've got a bulldog that's just fighting a sheepdog in my mind all of the time. The bulldog versus the sheepdog. That's all I can think of." And the psychologist said, "How many times do you dream this?" He said, "I dream this every single night. Bulldog versus sheepdog every night." And so the psychologist said, "Well, which dog wins?" He said, "Well, the one I feed the most." And it's the same with us.
That if you place yourself in a septic environment, then everything's going to be septic within that environment. If you place yourself in a clean, prosperous environment, everything within you is going to change within that environment. Some of you need to change your environment, change your lifestyle, change some friendship groups, change what you watch, change the time that you spend being entertained, change the time you spend in order to immerse yourself in the Word of God. Change your environment from criticism into praise. Change your environment from negative into positive. Change your environment around about you. The dog that wins inside your mind is the dog you feed the most. Stop feeding the bulldog. Stop it. It just gets fatter and fatter, bigger and bigger, stronger and stronger. And to feed the sheepdog. Become a sheep of his pastures. Prosper under the mighty hand of God. The third exercise is the release of prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 is a famous one, and it says this: the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they've got divine power to demolish strongholds. Well, that'd be prayer, wouldn't it? We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets us up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Prayer. It has divine power to demolish train tracks. So here's your old mind. Here's a train because you're undisciplined. And so you decided to head to Self-Pityville. And as that train's heading to Self-Pityville, you decide to pray. The train stops because the tracks have been bombed. It can go no further. It's irreversible. Through repentance, you hop in the Uber that's following every train in the darkened mind, and you come back to the Grand Central Station of the will of God to start again. Welcome to the renewing of the mind. You're going to have to exercise prayer. It has divine power to demolish strongholds. Prayerlessness doesn't suit you. You're going to be itchy, scratchy, thinking, what's wrong with me? Well, it's because you're not praying. It's like if you do absolutely no physical exercise, you're going to induce disease. And it's the same for a Christian who doesn't pray. It suits you to pray. And number four, the fourth exercise is the walk of faith. The walk of faith. The walk of faith is to line everything up with the convictions of your spirit. That's the walk of faith. So you want to line up the confession of your mouth with the conviction of your spirit. Just line it up. Stop speaking crap. No, seriously, just stop it. Line up the confession in your mouth with the conviction of your spirit. Just line up. Line up the commitments within your mind to the confession of your mouth, to the convictions of your spirit. Right. Line up your commitments, confession, conviction. Why don't you go one further and line your conduct up? Stop being so naughty. Just stop it. Don't tread the road of sinners. Stop watching stuff you should not be watching. Stop that. It's the walk of faith. It's to line everything up with the conviction of your spirit. Listen, when the conduct of your hand comes into line with the commitments in your mind, that comes into line with the confession of your mouth, that comes into line with the conviction of your spirit, we've got lift off. We haven't got amateurs anymore. We've got craftsmen who are roaming to and fro with the victory within their hands. That's what we've got. Let me just say something pastoral to you, that for some of you, there were massive horns that paraded their way around 2019. I'll just prophetically say to you that God has already sent out the craftsmen. That God doesn't do nothing. That God is the God of justice. That God is the God of victory. That God cares about his church. He cares about you. He wants you to come into prosperity and victory. He wants you to come into fruitfulness and ministry. He wants you to succeed. And so behind the scenes, as we crossed over from 2019 to 2020, God sent out the four craftsmen. And these guys aren't amateurs. These guys know exactly what they're doing. And if you can collide with the movements of God, with the movements of your mind,
the movements of your lips, the movements of your hands, then we can see an absolute miracle take place within 2020 in Hope City Church. I'll just read two pastoral scriptures. I adore Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 8. It says, "Never again will an oppressor overrun my people. For now I'm keeping watch." I adore Isaiah 45, verse 2 and 3. It says, "I'll go before you and I'll level the mountains and I'll break down the gates of bronze." Very difficult. "Cut down the bars of iron. I'll give you hidden treasure. Riches stored up in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summoned you by name." It's a faith word, that God's working on your behalf, but God's working with you working. The two of us together, the priestly nature of God with the Zerubbabel nature of the governor, working together hand in hand. I just need to say this, that while I'm preaching, whoever preaches in 2020, you want to take notes. I don't think you're that good. I don't think you're as good as you think you are. And some of you think, "Well, I'm good." Can I say this about devotional life? You could get 7 devotions out of every preach. Plus, we've got 2 services on a Sunday. So I want to say that you want to do everything you can in your power. Every one of us got a notepad for Christmas. It's the cheapest thing at TK Maxx. Well, that's a hint from the Holy Spirit. You want a journal at home. You can find time to soak in the Spirit of God. If you can play the guitar, play 1 chord. Just soak in the Spirit of God. That's all I do. Grab the Word of God, soak in the Word of God. Listen, do yourself a favor. Move from being an amateur to being a professional at this. Let's not make this year the same as last year. Otherwise, you get the same outcomes this year as you had last year. Let's make it different. I've got to finish it just in a few minutes. I'll do number 2 really quickly, because it's just, I won't do number 2 because I always try and pack too much in. I'm not doing it. This will be the first for me. Not packing a little extra. You should see my suitcase whenever I travel somewhere. Jen's is like 15 kilos. Mine is always 23 maxed kilos, just because I just want to take everything with me. It's part of my personality. But you know, I'm here to care for you. You've heard enough today. If you could stop the finger pointing, if you could actually do yourself a favor and blame yourself from now on, it's probably going to be quite helpful. It'll help you. It's probably not true for some of it. It's probably very healthy for a lot of it. To stop saying it's your fault, because the moment you say that, you're vindicated. The moment you vindicate it, there's no change. And you want to change. You want to be hungry for change. Stop being a victim. Stop saying it's because of. From now on, it's because of us. It's because of you. Still, I know that there's skyscrapers in you that you've built over Christmas time and built over the course of your life that need to come down. I know we'll make mistakes. I know we'll trip up. But if we hang around the Grand Central Station of the will, and if we could match it up with the Grand Central Station of the will of God, and if we could travel down the Western platform more often, then we could see the skyline of our mind be transformed in 2020. I'll read the scripture again. Don't conform to the thinking pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of the thinking process, so that you can test and approve, test drive the will of God, His good, His pleasing,
and His perfect will. And Holy Spirit, I pray for everybody online and everyone here in Sheffield, God. I pray that this glorious will would take us into a realm of responsibility and discipline. I pray that we'd hunger after the will of God, the broad expanse of the will of God, the beautiful green grass, still waters of the will of God, His fruitfulness, His prosperity, His power, His victory, His miracles. I pray, Lord God, we'd be mesmerized by the will of God. I pray, Lord God, give us a vision and open the eyes of our heart that we might know You, the author and the finisher and the perfecter of our faith, that we would be filled with the hope to which we've been called, that we would know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, that we would move from being amateurs to being craftsmen in the league of transforming ourselves and changing the way we think. Lord, our desire is to honor You. Our desire is to see every ounce, every jot, every tittle of every word that You've spoken over our lives come to pass in our lifetime. We just don't want to miss a thing. Father, take us out of the pollution of the victimization of this country and bring us into the clear air of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray tonight that people would feel enabled, that strongholds would come falling down, that through the power of prayer, that we would see the weapons of our warfare mightily defeating strongholds within our minds, within our hearts. Father, I pray for the spirit of victory to fill this place tonight. And Father God, we launch and commit January into Your hands. We don't just say, Lord, make it a good one. We say, we'll be there. We'll be there with every life, destiny, decision, life-defining, destiny-defining decision. We'll be there, Lord. We'll be there. We'll be there. We'll be there. We'll be there. If you're here this morning and this is your decision this morning to come back to Jesus, to fully come back to Jesus, and to pray a prayer, and I want you to respond. It'll be the first response you've made in 2020. If it's you, I want you to pray this prayer. If you've never committed your life to Christ, you've never become a Christian, you've never been born again, then I'd love you to pray this prayer. Everyone help me out. Dear Lord Jesus, I invite You into my heart. I can hear You knocking on the door of my heart. And I open that door. Come and dine with me. Come and drink with me. Come and speak to me. Fill me with the goodness of heaven as I've decided from this day onwards to follow after You. You are my God and my Lord. In Jesus' name. Keep your eyes shut. That was your Zerubbabel moment. That's you governing your emotions, governing your decisions. That's what you just did. And I get you to do one more thing, and this is voluntary, but every week people do it. Sometimes people need to make a symbolic act, like drawing a line in the sand. But we've got no sand here, but we have got the ability with every eye closed, when I count to three, for those who made that decision to lift up your right hand and leave it up till all the hands are up. It's just you drawing a line between yesterday and today, between yesterday and tomorrow. It's you making a decision to say, I'm not going backwards. This is a new start, a fresh start for me. I suspect quite a few people make that decision. It's the best way to start 2020. If that's you, with every eye closed except for a couple of counselors, on the count of three, I want you to lift up your right hand, leave it up till all the hands are up. 3, 2, 1, lift, lift, lift. Lift up your right hand. Lift it up, 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 lift it up. Father God. Father God, bless these people, God. And touch their hearts and touch their lives and strengthen them, Lord God. Strengthen their will, strengthen their walk, God. And Father, we thank you, Jesus, for this brand new beginning to 2020. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody stand up and give God a clap offering of praise. Come on, let's do it. Come on. Come on, let's give him a clap offering.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today.
Come on, let's give him a clap.
If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.